Welcome to this episode of Mentors at Your Benchside, the podcast giving you advice, tips, and tools for getting the most out of your research. I'm Jason Rogers, and today I'll be talking to you about what maximum Gilbert sequencing is and what it's used for. DNA sequencing is a fundamental technique in modern molecular biology that has revolutionized the study of genes, their functions, and their interactions. It has helped to uncover the genetic basis of diseases, discover new drugs and therapies, monitor people's response to these treatments, and shed light on the evolution of life on Earth. The maximum Gilbert sequencing method was widely used in the early days of DNA sequencing, but newer and more efficient sequencing technologies have since taken over. Yet it still has some niche uses. Plus, in the historical context of DNA sequencing, it's hugely important. A very short history of two DNA sequencing methods. First, let's have a little bit of history. In the mid-1970s, two methods were developed to sequence DNA directly. These were the maximum Gilbert sequencing method and the Sanger chain termination method. In 1980, both Walter Gilbert and Frederick Sanger were awarded the Nobel Prize in Chemistry for contributing to the determination of base sequences in nucleic acids. Technically, each got a quarter of the award because Paul Berg received the other half for his research into nucleic acid biochemistry, particularly regarding recombinant DNA. Therefore, maximum Gilbert sequencing and the Sanger method comprise the first generation of DNA sequencing methods. However, while Sanger sequencing is still widespread, maximum Gilbert sequencing has been largely forgotten. You might be surprised to know, therefore, that when both methods were discovered, maximum Gilbert was the more popular one. This popularity was because scientists could use purified DNA directly, while the initial Sanger method required DNA cloning for the start of each read. Listeners will appreciate that cloning can be problematic today, let alone several decades ago when the idea and underlying technology were still new. So how does maximum Gilbert sequencing work? Maximum Gilbert sequencing is also known as chemical sequencing because chemical reactions, rather than DNA and RNA amplification, are the basis of the method. It's quite easy to understand though, and it proceeds in just four steps. Number 1. Preparation of your sample. The DNA used in maximum Gilbert sequencing is first denatured into single-stranded chains and radiolabeled on the 5' end, usually with 32-phosphorus. Number 2. Cleavage. The next step cleaves the DNA, and this is where the maximum Gilbert sequencing gets really interesting. By taking advantage of piperidine and two chemicals that selectively attack purines and pyrimidines, dimethyl sulfate and hydrazine respectively, the DNA is cleaved at specific points. To be more accurate, using different combinations of these chemicals, you can cleave a DNA sequence wherever there's a cytosine, wherever there's a cytosine or a thymine, wherever there's a guanine, or wherever there's a guanine or an adenine. So if you put your sample into these four different reaction tubes, you obtain different fragments depending on the combination of chemicals. Number 3. Electrophoresis and autoradiography. These reactions are then loaded onto a high percentage agarose gel to differentiate fragment sizes. The fragments are visualized via the radioactive tag. And number 4. Reading the sequence. To read the sequence, you begin with the smaller fragments at the bottom of the gel. Calling each base involves interpreting the band pattern relative to the four chemical reactions. For example, if a band in the DNA sequence appears in both the guanine reaction and the guanine and adenine reaction lanes, then that nucleotide is a guanine. If a band in the DNA sequence appears only in the guanine and adenine reaction lane, then it's an adenine. The same decision process works for the cytosine reaction and the cytosine and thymine reaction lanes. Sequences are confirmed by running replicate reactions on the same gel and comparing the autoradiographic patterns between replicates. So why did maximum Gilbert lose popularity? Maximum Gilbert sequencing, although based on simple principles, came with a whole lot of trouble. Here are a few of its major drawbacks. First, it was time consuming. And that was supposing that everything went well on the first try. A lot of steps in the method could cause problems. Examples of potentially problematic steps include radiolabeling, the cleavage reactions, preparing the gel, electrophoresis, and developing the X-ray film to visualize the results. Plus, you can't easily parallelize the method, so you can only confirm about 200 to 300 bases of DNA every few days. It also uses dangerous chemicals. Working with radioactive isotopes and hazardous chemicals is never ideal. Maximum Gilbert sequencing uses both. In particular, 32-phosphorus is a nasty isotope as they go. It's a high-energy beta emitter with a short half-life. Or in English, it can put a lot of energy into your tissue and do so quite quickly. And hydrazine is a potent neurotoxin that can cause organ damage. The less of that used, the better. It's also comparatively information poor. Next generation sequencing methods such as the Illumina dye method offer genome-wide sequencing data. And Sanger sequencing is the incumbent method for plasmid sequencing, a fundamental service required by almost all biology research labs. Partly because of these drawbacks, and partly because of the intrinsic limitations of the technique, Maximum Gilbert sequencing cannot compete with these methods. So what is Maximum Gilbert sequencing used for today? Well, while the Maximum Gilbert method is not used as much as it once was, it is still used in some specialised applications where aspects of the process, namely the chemical cleavage step, make it useful. DNA footprinting. DNA footprinting enables the identification of sequences of DNA involved in protein-DNA interactions, and Maximum Gilbert sequencing can be used to do the sequencing step. After labelling the putative protein-binding DNA sections, they are incubated with the protein in question and cleaved as per the Maximum Gilbert protocol. The protein will protect the DNA to which it is bound from cleavage while unbound fragments get chopped up. The DNA is then unbound from the protein and then ran on a gel along with cleaved control fragments. Comparing the pattern of DNA fragments with and without the protein bound, you can figure out the sequence of DNA that the protein binds to. Identifying DNA modifications. DNA can get modified, which can be significant in certain contexts. Like epigenetics, anyone? Example modifications include methylation and acetylation. Again, exploiting the cleavage steps, you can cleave the DNA fragments at positions you suspect to be modified, sequence them, and compare those to a series of control fragments. This enables you to figure out if your DNA fragment has been modified. Structural DNA analysis. Similarly, enough is known about DNA structure in relation to certain short sequences of base pairs that you can use Maximum Gilbert sequencing to obtain such granular sequence information that you can begin to make structural inferences about the DNA. Not bad, eh? So that's it for Maximum Gilbert sequencing and its applications. Check out the episode description for links to related articles and resources, and don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to get more help and advice from mentors at your benchside.
Are you always on the go, but still seeking valuable insights to advance your research? Well, look no further than Listen In, the podcast from Bite Size Bio that offers the benefits of webinars in a portable format. With webinars featuring leading researchers and commercial specialists discussing techniques like CRISPR-Cas9 and microscopy. With Listen In, you can tap into their expertise and drive your research project forward efficiently and productively, no matter where you are. Visit bitesizebio.com/podcasts or search for Listen In your podcast app to subscribe.